Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Keith Everett here, Pensacola Business Radio, and I have in my studio today Dr. Rick Harper from University of West Florida Center of Research and Economic Opportunity. That's a mouthful, by the way.
It is, yes.
Good afternoon. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
So, you know, I get some feedback and stuff from UWF, and I saw the economic thing come through, and it really made me think about growing up here before the hurricanes, before the oil spill, and then watching it now. And of course, obviously being involved with Business Radio X, we're a perfect fit. So I've been so interested in our growth and the way that it's happening. And then I'm seeing your stuff and want to share it. So let's let everybody know what it is.
Great. Thanks. Pensacola is a mixture of great new things, great old things. And I guess the basic message is that we typically grow at about the rate of the national economy, population growth averaging around 1% per year. We're slower than the rest of Florida. People think that we're a slow growth location sometimes, but we're not. We do okay. The piece that I wrote that you're referencing, and we put these out periodically, the Haas Center for Business Research is an organization in our shop. You may have seen articles by Zach Jenkins, mm-hmm. our new director at the Haas Center, Phyllis Pooley, who is also affiliated with our Center for Research and Economic Opportunity, writes about data issues, a real data expert. And the piece that I published last week had to do with growth in retail sales, both in tourism-related activities, right, growing rapidly, and in non-tourism-related activities, growing, but not quite so rapidly.
Right. But I would like to say, I know I can feel it when I go try to park on the beach or go to the beach during the summer, that our tourism is back up to almost where it was prior to the oil spill, or are we exceeding?
Well, in fact, if you look at the number of dollars spent in the retail sector that's associated with tourism, and that would mm-hmm. include things, the biggest categories are lodging, so that would be hotels and condos right. that are required to report short-term rental taxes to the state. Also, meals away from home. So this is restaurants, fast foods, taxable grocery items at stores, which are generally prepared foods. And if you look across the 14 or so categories of things that the Department of Revenue says are really related to tourism sales, they've actually been up strongly once we got past the recession. And then once we got past the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, we've seen that summer visitation has increased very strongly. And in fact, retail sales and employment in tourism are up well above levels that we see in other sectors.
What do you think are have been some of the contributing factors to the ability to come back so quick?
Well, I mean, it's not that it was so quick, actually. If you look back at, I mean, retail sales are more volatile than employment. And
sure.
if you look at the way that sales spiked after Hurricane Ivan, September 2004, when everybody was replacing their car, their truck, their dishwasher, their carpet, their roof, retail sales were running at about 30% above normal levels for really, almost 2 years. But then post-Ivan, post-Dennis, there was a big letdown, so that our taxable retail sales actually declined in the Pensacola metro area, the two-county metro
sure.
area, declined until about mid-2009, which is... You know, it's shocking, really, in economic terms to see a decline like that. But everybody had bought all their new household durable goods, mm-hmm. And nobody needed new carpet or new roofs once that spending was done. And but since 2009, we have been growing. But really, we did take off once the effects of the oil spill were over, and we've actually seen good sales really since about 2012 through 2015. So it's been a good couple of years.
Do we find the business communities, I think there's been a culture shift around here too as well. Have you found that in some of your research and stuff?
It's certainly, you can see and feel the optimism, a lot of the downtown development that's going on, investors willing to invest. And so now, in contrast to where we were, say, 6 years ago, and it doesn't really feel like we've been out of the recession for 6 years, but according to the data, we have. now some of the constraints are on the supply side, that businesses that want to invest, people that want to do new projects, they wouldn't have thought of doing these new projects back in 2008, 2009. They want to do them, but increasingly, the issue is that some of the new Dodd-Frank legislation regarding disclosure of funds, sources of funds, and also the credit checks that people have to undergo. A lot of people had their FICO score, their credit score, damaged severely by the recession, their inability to get the work they needed. They might have gotten behind on their payments, on the mortgage, perhaps. And those people are not in the market. Housing values have not quite recovered so that those people can get loans again. But again, it's really mortgage lending standards, business lending standards that appear to be tighter than they were 6 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, I can imagine and they're going to keep going because nobody wants to go back to where it was when the bubble busted.
We don't want to be over leveraged and out of luck. But again, back to the point that on the demand side, there's a lot of optimism. A lot of people want to do projects. And now some of the constraint appears to be on the supply side, that availability of funds has been an issue.
Yeah. And so what are you finding is the solution to this?
Well, the solution,
if there is one.
For us in the greater Pensacola metro area, I think that the solution lies with recognition, acceptance, embracing the fact that the problems associated with job growth are better than the problems associated
with lack of job growth. Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Tourism and more intensive use of infrastructure, I think the single best thing that we could do is turn ourselves into a 30-week-a-year destination rather than a 10-week summer season destination. And this shows up so clearly in the retail sales data that July is our biggest month. We have a slight peak in March. December's, of course, a big month for retail sales. But if we could, and people who live in this area know that the best months, the best time to be at the beach is not in June and July or August. Instead, it's in October, September, April, May. If we could have strong, if we could have robust tourism season activity from March until the 1st of November so that we could empower investors, I mean, it makes a big difference if you can charge good room rates, if you're if you've got good occupancy rates for 30 weeks a year instead of 10 weeks a year. And if you're thinking of investing in a $50 million asset, lodging for tourists or perhaps a smaller amount for restaurants to serve those tourists or stores, retail, think Destin, think Foley, then
you want a longer sales cycle.
You got to have a longer sales cycle because you cannot justify it to your investors. You can't justify it to the big box retailers that might want to come into that location. You can't say to them, geez, it's just, we really kill it 10 weeks out of the year. Yeah. And they say, what about the other 42?
Well, and it doesn't make it any easier for small business. I mean, that's a business issue, period.
It is. And so if you look at the oil spill back in 2010, it hit us just at the wrong time.
Yep.
For South Florida, the season was over because their peak month is March in the tourist season. But for us, the uncertainty about the oil hit us right at the start of tourism season. We had people failing to make vacation plans because it's pretty easy to say, to turn to your spouse across the table and say, let's go to Gatlinburg, let's go to Myrtle Beach, let's go to Savannah instead of going to Pensacola Beach or Destin this summer. And so when you kind of, as they say in finance, when you make your nut during those 10 weeks during the summer, if those 10 weeks disappear and instead look like January or March, and you haven't been able to sock away enough to make your lease payment throughout the year, mortgage payment throughout the year, that means that those problems persist. You just can't.
It takes a long time to come back from that.
Can't lose a whole year.
Yeah. So as you're seeing now with the positive trends, not only in our tourism, but just in our business community growth, where are we heading? What's next?
I think that there are a number of interesting and very positive developments. I was just running the numbers. Bloomberg had a story saying that growth in service industry, service businesses around the nation was slowing. I went back and checked our numbers. And from 1990 until December 2015, we now have those data in December 2015. If you look back across all those months, the average rate of change relative to the same month the year before was about 1,500 for our two-county metro area. We were growing on average over 25 years at 1,500 jobs per year. An exciting development, for example, is Navy Federal. These are well-paid jobs for our metro.
Yeah, and a lot.
If you look at that commitment of 500 jobs per year for the next number of years, and then think about the spinoff jobs that 500 sure. net new jobs creates as people then can, who were earning less before, or if they left a different job, somebody else had right. to fill that different right. job. So these are 500 net new jobs. And then the supply chain effects, the take-home pay effects of their spending adds another, say, 300 jobs. So we've got 800 jobs per year growth contracted by Navy Federal.
Yeah, just one company.
And look at that relative to our metro area. If you look at the last generation, that growth alone gives us a 50% head start on the way to our normal annual jobs target.
Yeah.
And if you can start the race with,
with 1 foot out of the gate,
then you do well.
So, yeah. And one of the other things that I've noticed just through the people we've had in here and the stories that we've been doing and sharing, right, you know, through us, is that not only we are tourism, obviously, we've always been, we've got the beaches, we have the fun things to do, but I'm watching a lot of new industries and a new growth of whether it's tech or, like you said, it's Navy Fed, but we're getting things that nobody would have had here 5, 6, sometimes even four or five years ago.
Those are important jobs. The statistics show that tech is still too small to be a major player in job growth. And what I mean by that is that tech could double its job growth rate, triple its mm-hmm. job growth rate. But because it's growing from a small base, from relatively few companies who are primarily tech-focused, then the jobs that get counted are not going to be large enough to move the needle. Instead, if you look at Northwest Florida and across the state of Florida, we are seeing huge service sector job growth. The top three job growth categories for Florida for the next 5 years are waiter and waitress, mm-hmm. Cashier, food prep. And so those sectors are so big that they can grow at normal rates of, say, 1% right. per year. And even if tech is growing at 5% per year, it's not grown from a big enough base to move the needle.
Right. Well, and do you also think, I mean, the hospitality industry and things like that's an easy entry into, whereas I see, from what we've heard, a lot of tech, it's a supply and demand issue. It's the training. It's the knowledge. So it's a little bit harder to get in.
I agree with that. And so what's the implication of that?
Yeah.
That it's harder to get in because of the need for skilled labor, the need to develop that market. What that means is you have to look at your area colleges and universities and also certificate programs and mm-hmm. in career academies to improve the availability of skilled workforce, because, you know, we're living in a 21st century economy where automations and is getting cheaper and cheaper yeah. every day. And where shipping goods from overseas is getting cheaper every day. Amazon yeah. has just moved into the ocean freight business. They'll be
yeah,
shipping.
Who saw that coming?
Right. Well, I mean, but when you stop and think about it, it totally makes sense.
Absolutely.
Because they can lower the cost to their users, to their providing businesses, by buying ocean freight in bulk.
Yeah.
Which means that Amazon will consolidate its advantage over traditional retail. And so what that means is that people who produce things in the U.S. are increasingly exposed to foreign competition, because it's getting cheaper and cheaper to right. move that product from Hong Kong to L.A. Long Beach if the dock workers are working. and then on the tech side, it's getting cheaper and cheaper to automate that job out of existence. So a rule of thumb is that that I've read in journals dealing with this is that if it costs less than 2 years of salary for mm-hmm. the worker that will be replaced by this particular piece of software or industrial robot, if it's less than 2 years of salary for that worker, then go ahead and make the switch, which tech's getting cheaper all the time, whereas fringe benefits particularly, wages are fairly flat. Mm-hmm. Wages are almost exactly flat if you're lucky, and if you're not lucky, then they're shrinking.
Right.
But fringe benefit costs are rising, healthcare costs are rising, the cost of hiring a worker, you have to include fringes. And so cost of workers is rising, cost of tech is falling. It shifts the balance.
Yeah. Well, you'd think they'd kind of all rise together.
You would think so.
But theoretically. That's
not what the data show. You know, yeah. we really peaked. Actually, we peaked in 1969 to 70 period in terms of the share of national income, you know, right. Economists talk about gross domestic product and national income. The share of national income that got paid to people who get up and go to work every day for wages back in 1970, that was 52% of all income paid. You know, income gets paid to owners of capital, gets paid as interest, rents, dividends, profits. But the share that went to labor dropped from 52% in 1970 to where it is in the most recent data for 2014 is down to 41%. And so that delta, that drop from 52% share to 41% share, it's big. That's what, 11 percentage points on a base of 52. That's 20% drop in the share of national income going to workers. It's a tough time to sell your labor for wages.
Yeah. So, what other research stuff? You got any other cool projects in the works right now that you can reveal?
we're doing a lot of cool projects. Our shop encompasses the university's Office of Research and Sponsored Programs.
Yeah.
And so we have major initiatives underway, about 11 of them. We're doing things such as graduate student travel awards so that graduate students can get out to conferences, present their work to their professional peers.
Yeah.
We have an equipment fund so that the scientists and chemists and the psychologists that need new driving simulation software to test reflexes. we've got a program that helps them buy that equipment. We've got support for faculty that want to submit research proposals. So those programs are going on. And then over at the Florida Small Business Development Center Network, which is part of our
organization. I had a class with them today.
Yeah, it's a superb organization. They're now delivering across the state of Florida. They're delivering in excess of 110,000 consultant hours per year in the state of Florida. Just an enormous resource for small businesses across the state. And then the Haas Center is looking at a number of projects. We're very interested in the structure of the economy. What do these changes mean? More tourism, less manufacturing.
Right.
And so we're working on some of that in anticipation of supporting the Triumph Gulf Coast organization, which will distribute the oil spill money,
which
is due to flow. And so we'll be providing them with insights into the potential high growth areas of the economy. And you can think of things like cybersecurity, given the missions here in Pensacola, Homeland Security. And you can also think of aviation. Wouldn't it be neat to have maintenance, repair, and overhaul facilities, perhaps at the new Panama City Airport, which taxiway access? So some of those projects we're involved in, and just it's an exciting time to be able to look at economic development.
Yeah, it's like you're kind of sitting behind the scenes just waiting for it all to explode, you know?
Waiting for it to explode.
In a good way, So, well, Dr. Harper, is there anything else that we need to cover? And if somebody has some questions or information, I want to make sure that we get them to the website that they need to go. So let's do that.
We do have a policy that if an information request takes us less than 4 hours of staff time, we do it for free. And we do have staff on board who are experts, years of experience with data sources. And so I'd encourage people to get in touch with us at haas.uwf.edu, haas.uwf for University of West Florida.edu, or at the Office of Economic Development and Engagement, uwf.edu/OEDE.
So, and we'll share those links on our site as well.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on.
I think we've covered a good bit. Yeah.
I hope people are not exhausted.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, and I had economics in college, and there's some parts of it where you get that way. But then when you really look at the big picture and how it's playing a part in the lives we live, it sort of changed it from just numbers and statistics to more of the social aspect of it.
There are people behind every one of these statistics.
Yeah, that's it. And probably your neighbor, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, again, thanks for coming in. And you guys can locate us at Pensacola Radio X on Twitter or Pensacola.BusinessRadioX.com or on our Facebook at Pensacola BRX. Again, Dr. Harper, thanks for coming in. And this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.